Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I can't believe you actually want to explore quantum realities.
You don't?
I'd be happy to never hear the word multiverse ever again.
What's wrong with exploring?
Oh, real exploring is great. We go out into the galaxy and visit strange new worlds. What you do isn't exploring.
I almost look like I'm stuck in one spot, huh?
The multiverse is just a rehash of stuff I already know.
You sound a lot like Zeph. It took him a minute to get it, too. We don't need to meet new species.
Okay, then why bother exploring at all?
To better understand ourselves. It's fun to learn about aliens, but learning about humanity? That's something else. I've met humans who've built rings around the sun. I've met others whose ships are the size of continents. I'm learning about what humans can be, mapping our potential. So far, it's limitless.
I never thought about it like that.
I'm going to click this button.
I'm going to click the button.
Clickety clicks.
The click. Audience does not need to be privy.
Patrick clicks.
To what we were discussing clickety earlier.
Clicks. No.
It was nonsense.
It was there was nothing prurient about it. There was nothing offensive about it.
No, it was just a
quite inoffensive.
Bunch of silliness.
But
we're silly guys.
Probably not of particular interest to the majority of our audience.
Okay.
A silly parlay.
Great. Speaking of audience, hello, audience.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, my man?
Hi, audience. You guessed it. You guessed it.
What did they guess?
What
do they win?
What they're listening to.
What do they win?
You are listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Oh, no way. I know these guys. They're super nice.
We are super nice.
I'm not
Thank
nice.
You, Mariner. I mean, Jesse's nice in most contexts.
An asshole.
He's Jesse's totally. One of those guys who's nice until he ain't, if you know what I mean,
shit.
Right?
Big time.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Dan knows.
I know.
All right, so...
When can we start?
It's Got Star Trek. Welcome to the podcast.
It's got it.
Bring it in, everyone!
This is episode 268.
Whoa, no way.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Good.
No, oh, all right. I was wondering if there was going to be a sound there. And... There twas. So, all right, welcome. We've done that a few times
well,
now.
Good.
It's got Star Trek 268, so they know that bit. This week, we have a lot to discuss, so try to minimize the front half bullshit.
You know, when
save any bullshit for the end.
We really should have split this up differently so we did the next episode next week.
Well, we didn't know this was going to be a to be continued.
No, we didn't know that.
They fucking did that shit.
Yeah.
You're all good.
see, there's Jesse being nice until he ain't. It's like, they did this to us.
Paramount
Plus. We have a lot to discuss because this week we are discussing two episodes.
Okay.
We were out of town last week, or at least a portion of us were out of town, so we weren't able to record.
I've hit rock bottom.
So we provided a bonus episode in lieu of our regular coverage. So instead,
it wasn't a bonus episode. It's only a bonus episode if it's in addition to, not in lieu of.
Oh my goodness!
Well, for more of that, argument, listen to that.
Silence, fool!
Listen to that episode. It was what did we call it? Danny Long Clips, sound clips.
I didn't call it nothing.
Fucktacular.
Something. No, they were.
That's stupid.
We were gonna put Fucksplosion, but we figured they wouldn't. Like Apple Podcasts and iTunes wouldn't like that. So
that's stupid.
It's called like the sound clip clip extravaganza. Quiz extravaganza. That's what it was. Danny Long Clips sound clip quiz extravaganza. It's a great episode.
Great.
Dan plays sound clips from across all of Star Trek.
And it's really funny.
And Jesse and I try to guess the character of the series, etc. And the fun part is because Dan didn't always name his files, his sound clip files, with full information. Oh. Sometimes Dan was getting to guess as well.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I didn't actually employ my modern file naming system until like a few months back. So there's a whole bunch that have the name of the sound, but not the episode they're from.
Yeah. It was definitely an episode for like the true fans of It's Got Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. And as well as any new fans.
Works every time.
It's fun because the audience can play along. You can try to guess what the sound clips are from, too. And some of them were quite obscure, I got to say.
Yeah.
Big time.
A lot of them were quite obscure. Anyway, that was last week.
It was adorable.
So this week we are discussing two episodes, and those two episodes are Upper Decks.
All right.
That's episode 8 of season 5. Mm-hmm. And Fissure Quest.
Let's do this.
Which is episode 9. And as Dan was alluding to, we've now learned after watching Fissure Quest that it is the first part of a two-parter that will be concluded next week in the
is
series
Fissure
finale.
Is Fissure Quest supposed to be like Vision Quest?
I think it's similar to Vision Quest, yes. Because isn't there like a Voyager? Is that a Voyager one? Or is it Deep Space Nine?
I thought it was some kids elementary school did like when they went to that obstacle course and had to beat it together or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like
beat it
name?
Together?
No.
Hey, Dan.
I did not say what you implied.
Look, Dan, we do mark this episode, we do mark this podcast as explicit, but that's a little too blue for my taste.
Oh, snap.
Shut up and leave me alone.
Hold on. Vision Quest Star Trek. I'm typing this in here. Memory Alpha. Sacred Ground talks about Chakotay doing some sort of vision quest. Voyager Coil, the flight, Voyager the Cloud, Journey's End, the Cloud, Cathaxa.
This is
vision,
titillating podcast.
I know, I like reading stuff. Yeah, okay.
We don't have any like mail them ups or anything.
So did you answer the question that you asked, or was that just a big waste of time?
I mean, it was mostly a waste of time. Vision quests have been mentioned on Star Trek. I was also thinking of the King of the Hill episode with Bobby and the Bobby Panda,
know,
and the whole panda thing.
That's not Star Trek.
It's not Star Trek.
Yeah, Bobby Panda, right.
Bobby Panda. Bobby Panda.
Then he's on like on Hollywood Squares at the end.
Yes.
Bobby Panda. He's all like, my mother-in-law.
Okay. All right. So that was King of the Hill Minute. And now we're back to It's Got Star Trek, the Star Trek podcast where we talk about
Star Trek.
Mostly Star Trek.
Yeah, all right.
And some Pulp Fiction.
That's what we're going to discuss this week. And we can get right into it. Unless there's anything else, because we don't have any immediate, we'll save any email ups or anything like that. We'll save all that till next week.
I mean, I had a short game show called Spy Games. But
I want to play. This is the time to do it.
Okay.
All right. I know there's a bunch of people at home saying like, oh shit, they almost got to the discussion.
Almost, but not quite.
He derailed them again.
Dan's created a game called Spy Game.
So I'm going to play a clip. It's about a minute long.
Okay.
And your job is I'm going to ask you a question at the end of that clip. Referring to a detail of this.
What question are you going to ask?
Well, that's the spy games part of it.
Jesse's being coy, Jesse,
and
tonight.
It's like, you know, when you walk in a room and you have to like, you have a second to look at it and then someone's like, what color tie was that guy wearing? How many like socks were in the corner or whatever, you know, something like that. This is actually.
It sounded like an exciting game.
So.
Okay, now here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, guessing, knowing what I know of you and your professionalism, I'm assuming that you said this, you know, described this clip as being a minute long. I'm assuming, or perhaps presuming, that once you ask the question, and then Jesse and I fumble around and try to answer the question properly, that any audio clips you'll need to play will not require playing the entire 1 minute clip again.
No. No. And that's part of the game is you can only listen to it once.
Okay.
So, yeah, right. No, it's not going to be one of those. It's not like Duty or No Duty where I have to play it over and over again. And that works because they're short. No, this is one time. You get one shot at this.
Okay, good. All right. Jesse, we're one shot. One shot
okay.
at this.
And then
we're
actually,
ready to listen to this minute-long clip.
Just to let people know, because this might confuse them, it's a clip of us.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
In the dark.
Purple data.
That's the song.
Whistling.
My
whistling.
Wife danced with whistling. Her
purple data.
At our wedding.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, it was
totally,
a cool
it was
wedding, totally awesome. You guys were like, dance. Whoa, that's so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is great. This is really everything I wanted it to be.
All right. Well, you've successfully thrown me thrown me for a loop when we were trying to get...
You're getting on my case for, like, playing a few sounds, but Mr. Tangent over here, like, going off, like, oh, I just can't resist from singing a song when I hear a few words.
I'm going to recite Whistling in the Dark.
Sir, I am not getting on your case. I am quite...
You do. You're like... You're
I'm
always,
quite entertained
no, you're
and
totally,
amused
No, you're totally getting on my case. When you say, like, okay, well done. When you say, like, well done, that's your way of saying, time to move on. I'm sick of this. That's what you mean when you say, well done. You mean, I'm sick of this.
Well, I was about to say I could be ordering a...
Please, do not shut me down mid-conversation.
Ordering a steak or a burger, but you know me too well, and you know that I would not be ordering a well-done steak.
What the
or
fuck
burger.
Are you talking about? Oh, not the fuck you. You took my words and you made them different.
No. Anyway, don't worry about
the
it.
Chicken.
Yeah, I know. I said well done. You took my words. You made it say something different.
You'll appreciate it more when you listen back. All right. what was I going to say?
The only way I can handle the pain is by playing my beloved soap flute.
Did you get a good sense of that clip?
I think we got a good sense of that clip.
Oh, man.
My question is, what did I gain from listening back to that clip again? Like you said I would?
I have no idea.
I don't think you gained anything.
Like what did I get the second time around that I didn't get the first time around?
I don't know. What you tell me, Dan.
Because you specifically said, listen to this again. Listen to it one more time.
That's how the game works. You have to tell him.
You were like, listen to it again, Dan, and you'll understand what I'm saying or something.
What
like
if
that.
I said I know what I meant, but you know, I kinda don't want to embarrass you by
You're playing that game.
No, I'm just joking. No, I have no idea. I wasn't paying enough attention. I was trying to pay attention, but not in the right context.
I think what you were doing is making the well-done steak joke. And when at first I said, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't immediately get it, but then I got it. And I was like, oh, you mean you took my words and you made them something else. But you didn't get that I got the joke. You were stuck on the part where I didn't get the joke.
So now I get it.
So you were telling me to listen back because you didn't think I got the well done steak joke you made. When I kept saying, no, you made the words different. And you didn't understand that when I said that, it was saying, I got your joke. All you right. still thought I didn't know what you're talking about.
Is this
that's
really
why
a
you
game wa- show that's or is what- this something else? You got ulterior motives going on.
I don't think this is a game show. This is one of them classic Dan prosecute 'em ups.
Okay.
Well done, Dan. Well done.
Is that game a keeper?
Well done. Yes. Let's play it again. Call 'em out 'em ups.
Call 'em out 'em ups.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Pick up some nonsense I knocked over. Okay, very good. Very good. All right, Upper Decks. Shall we talk about Upper Decks?
I guess we should.
Okay. In the dark.
Purple data.
Purple data.
That's the song.
Whistling in the dark.
Please, do not shut me.
Dark. I don't know what you're doing right now.
Oh, not the fuck you. You took my words and you made them different.
No. Okay, so audience is weird. Anyway, don't worry about it.
Chicken.
Present Dan didn't say that. That was past Dan. Oh, past Dan was talking about.
He did that thing again.
I'm playing the. Yeah. I know. I said, well done. You took my words. You made it say something different.
You'll appreciate it more when you listen back.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, what more did I appreciate?
I don't know, but I get the impression that you do appreciate it more because you're taking up a lot of the next episode's time talking about that.
I think that was a fun game show. I think that was a success.
All right.
Okay, now we can move on.
Very good. Okay, Upper Decks. Now I got to find my fucking notes and shit here.
You're a freaky little monster that lives in my brain.
Yes.
Upper Decks seems like there's a few story threads, and like some of them could be like A plots in their own episode, and some of them could be B plots in their own episode, but they're all kind of strung together.
It was a fun, if
very fun, I'd
and
say.
Brilliant, if sort of brilliantly simple idea, but brilliant nevertheless to do a reversey on TNG's Lower Decks.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, and this was like kind of the time to do it.
Last season. I mean, maybe this is something that they might have wanted to save for later. You know, I've suggested that there probably are some plot lines that they needed to squeeze in quickly because they were probably planning on stringing it out a little bit longer. But although it was different in the sense, Jesse, because like you said, in the Lower Decks episode, the TNG Lower Decks episode, there's like working more on one mission. I know they're doing different things because they're in different departments, but this is more like we're seeing all the main characters, all the upper deckers doing different
freaky
things.
Shit going on in engineering. There's like, you know, freaky shit going on in like a cargo bay.
Yeah.
So they kind of tried to tie most of them together. So like there was the Rancid story, which that was
Did you say Rancid?
Ransom. I meant Ransom. The Ransom story where they were like hauling in those space cows. Now I wasn't clear, were they, did they just
Bagoons? What were they called?
They were called bug goons. Yeah, bagoons.
Oh my God, I didn't even make that. I was just like bagoons.
I thought they were adorable when they walked by spinning their little arms around. At the end when
Slurping their little baby bagoon.
And at the end the baby one that all squeaked and like wasn't gonna catch up, and I was like, oh no. And then like he caught up, and then I laughed and I started crying.
The only problem I have like with the name bagoon is it has the flavor of a slur. You know, like it seems like something you'd call some marginalized group that has just entered your planet or something.
But like when Yosemite Sam calls people maroons.
Yeah.
Bagoons.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's Beezus Fafoon.
So
it does sound a little like Beezus Fafoon.
So Ransom. So I wasn't clear. Did they stumble upon these bagoons or were they looking for them?
They said the scientist guy that was on the ship that turned out to be a Klickit in disguise.
Yes, he turned out to be a Klickit. So the Ransom story gave us the bagoons and the scientist guy. Mm-hmm. And then we find out that dude was actually a Klickit. Then there was the Shaq's whole PTSD living nightmare thing, which tied in because it allowed him to unwittingly beat the crap out of a whole crew of dudes. The Tana tied in because like in a weird way, because like because she like didn't have she like didn't feel pain, which somehow I guess they were implying that allowed her to not be killed by that death phaser they shot at. I don't think that's how pain thresholds work. I think you die, but I think that's
traditionally not.
No, but I think that's what they were implying when like they shot her, and that's sort of like how that tied in. The Freeman one was funny because like she was basically watching crew's performances. That was her job all day.
The sousaphone recital?
That was performance to performance.
And like she does that dance at the end, then she takes off the sousaphone and just like chucks it.
There was some sousaphone battle stuff. That reminded me that was when they shot the laser and it went through the tube. Yeah. That reminded me of that scene in Spaceballs.
Yeah,
when
it's exactly Princess Spaceballs.
And then there was the tuba with battle. I love that.
There were so many tuba jokes in this episode.
I love that gag where they like every time the tuba does something, it like makes make a tuba noob.
And the sound design is really good.
Yeah. So this job that she had was seemingly ineffectual, right? But it turned out like it was good.
Oh, just beautiful.
It is really hard to talk.
I mean, this is a very long clip that you have. They don't call them Denny long clips for no reason.
So, her job was seemingly ineffectual, but it actually kind of built morale because at the end, both Winger Bingston Jr. And Barnes like came to her aid in the end, and that was probably in part because she like came to see their performances and they appreciated it. But then there was the Billups story, which had nothing to do with anything.
Billups was just a standard engineer who loves fixing stuff. Story.
Except like all the engineering problems happened because of some half-assed job he did before.
Yes, that's true.
It was all him trying to fix his own shit. And like it started with that light that Meredith found, and like which unraveled everything and it all fell apart. By the way, I was listening to her voice. I was like, where do I recognize that?
You mean the Australian engineer?
Yeah, her name is Charlotte. If I'm pronouncing this wrong, I apologize. Nickdao, NICDAO.
NICDAO.
Yeah, Charlotte. And the reason I remember her voice, I looked on IMDb. She's on this show on Apple TV called Mythic Quest.
The French.
Rob McElhenney.
I'm familiar with the show. I've seen previews of it, but I haven't watched it.
She plays Poppy. I like the show. I think it's good.
I heard it is entertaining.
Yeah.
Is it one of those Dungeons and Dragons-y type businesses?
Yeah, the deal is it's a workplace comedy show, but their business is they run an MMO like World of Warcraft like that. But it's called Mythic Quest.
Mythic Quest.
Yeah, but it's just a silly workplace comedy, really. Yeah. So it's kind of like how the Orville, when you look at it, that's just kind of like a workplace comedy.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know what's another one?
Star Trek?
No.
Star Trek.
The Office.
Ah, that's your quintessential workplace comedy.
Yeah.
We can name more.
Quintessential means it's five times as essential as other things.
Octessential.
Cheers was kind of like that.
Yes, cheers. No, Cheers was a workplace comedy.
They all worked there.
Cheers is definitely a workplace comedy.
No, more people didn't work there than did work there.
Okay. No, but it is taking place in the workplace.
But somebody
but
was
it's also,
working
but
there.
It's, it, I
You've
mean,
got Sam Malone, you got Woody, but, you got Coach.
But there, it also takes place in a restaurant.
You
which,
got Carla?
Coach wasn't really working out.
You got Carl, and you have like Norm, not Carl, Cliff.
Cliff and Norm.
And
yeah.
Norm.
I still think it's more workers than non-workers.
I don't know.
Frasier doesn't work there. Cliff and Norm don't work there, but Carla works there. Woody works there,
but then there's Lilith.
The other, and then like usually the ladies on the show, like it was there were two of them at different times. Yeah. They worked there.
I would consider it part.
I think it's four people.
I think it's part way because and the thing about a restaurant, it's like one person's job, but another person's relaxation, so it's different. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Not at all.
But yeah. So, anyways,
workplace.
That
comedy.
Was my fault.
Oh yeah. Anyways, that was just saying
Mythic
that's where
Quest.
That's where I recognized Poppy from.
Well,
anyway.
Poppy.
Cool. Poppy. So that's cool.
That is cool.
But yeah,
I like recognizing people from other projects.
So that's what I like that it tied all together. I was not such a big fan of the whole resolution where Freeman was like, oh, they hate compliments, because it's kind of like it was just an easy out. They mentioned it at the beginning.
It was
they
a little extreme.
What they did is they basically said, this is how we beat them. And then
the MacGuffin.
And then at the end, they just said, we're going to beat them doing this. You know, it's like, you know, they might as well said, it's like, say bibbidi boo. That's how we're going to win. And then they do a bunch of stuff. And at the end, they're like, oh, yeah, bibbidi boo. And then they die. It's about, it doesn't tie into anything. It's just like, it's just they're setting up their own victory at the beginning. So
it's a very self contained show episode in that.
But I did like the episode. I just didn't like that ending as much.
Had Migley Moo.
It did.
Oh, your face
and
fell
off. Paul F. Tompkins also played the Clickit, who was disguised as the scientist.
Tight.
Interestingly, I don't think he did the voice for the scientist. I think that.
Wonder
was
what they're
else.
Mad about now.
But when he transformed, when his face fell off, like right.
Your kind words burned me.
Then it was played by Paul F. Tompkins, and who also plays Dr. Migley Moo, and who is just awesome. I love Paul.
Depending on texture and flavor.
Yes. I forget. What's Migley Moo's first name? They said it in that episode that was...
Is it like Paul or something?
Migley Moo sent.
I don't remember, actually. I do. I remember them mentioning it, but I don't remember what it was.
I'll look it up later.
All right. Jesse's going to look it up later. Dan's going to look it up now.
Yeah.
But no,
Gabbers. Is it Gabbers?
Gabbers Migley Moo?
Yeah, Migley Moo. I always forget it's Migley Moo.
Migley Moo. So I really like Migley the idea of doing the upper decks, and then so we don't see our lower deckers in this one. And intriguingly, in the next episode, which we'll discuss,
we see the
a
upper
bit,
deckers though.
We also don't really see our lower deckers much. So this is two episodes where we're sort of removed from our core characters.
You're right. I don't.
I could have just used the first half of that. Can you do like some quick editing so it just says you're right? Can you like stop
you're
it?
Right. I don't.
Whoops. I tried. Wait.
You're right.
Excellent. Brilliant.
That's what I should have cut out.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
But the story setup is fun. I like that they're doing these different things. And these are characters that we all really enjoy. Even though they're not the main characters, it's cool that they gave them this opportunity to...
Yes!
See them having some of their adventures in a more extensive way than we might otherwise.
Big time.
What we didn't get to see much of who were people who are on the senior staff are Migley Moo, right? We didn't really get he was in a little bit.
He didn't have his own.
Oh crap.
And also Kayshawn. Kayshawn was shown, but we didn't get to see any fun stuff with him. But you know, I get it. You know, you got
Mosaro. When the lake was smooth.
Yeah.
I like how he says that. Lake was smooth.
Well, Carl Tart's another one of my favorites. He's just a brilliant performer. And another one to go check out on Comedy Bang Bang.
Check it out.
And other things along with Paul F. Tompkins.
Check it out.
Good character work.
There you go.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Specific things about this episode. Now is where I'm going to go look at my notes.
You're going to look at your notes. V'ger.
It would have been cool. I know why they didn't. I know it's expensive and it's only for one episode. It would have been cute if they had changed the opening credits a little bit to say upper deckers, or upper decks.
I agree.
There weren't any jokes about upper deckers.
Like poop jokes?
I don't think people know about that.
Yeah.
I think most people probably know what an upper decker is. If you don't know what an upper decker is, the polite way of saying it is it's when you go to a friend's house, usually a friend's house. Because, I mean, why are you...
Why would you do it to yourself?
Or are enemies inviting you to their house? Probably not. So probably, realistically, if you're going to do an upper decker, it's probably going to be at a friend's house, certainly at an acquaintance house.
You might make an enemy.
And then what you do is in the toilet, if you're using the toilet that's common in the United States, as well as some other places.
The bog standard toilet?
I recognize that in other countries, you have different designs of toilets where this...
Oh, this human is full of words!
Where this may be impractical or indeed impossible to do. But in a standard North American toilet...
Some places don't even have toilets.
How long does it take to say what you're trying to say?
I'm just trying to be accurate here with
an
upper decker.
You're taking a long-ass time to say what you're trying to say.
We'll get back. This is important. You take the top off.
Not with me around.
You take the top off the tank of the toilet, and then you deposit in whatever way you see fit. You deposit some feces into the top tank of the toilet, and then you replace the lid because that's important. Because otherwise, you get caught out right away. And then what happens is that every time somebody goes to flush the toilet, poop comes out. Poop water comes out. And
I think it's cute.
The more they flush it, the more poop water comes out. And that's what is known colloquially.
It's horrible.
And I believe scientifically as an upper decker.
I have made a joke at your expense.
Yes. But this episode was not upper deckers. It was upper decks. But I still thought they might make an upper decker joke. But they didn't.
Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I think it's cute.
So, yeah. V'ger. They talk about V'ger. I forget. What's V'ger?
From the Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yeah.
Movie.
Oh, Voyager. Right. Yeah. Remember Voyager 6? Voyager 6 goes away and gets all Borgified and then comes back.
Wait, who's the storm in the background?
That's
of the
V'ger.
That's V'ger.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the fifth season opening.
Must join with V'ger. 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 Must join with V'ger.
That's the one. It's the best one yet.
Did you label those clips as beats?
One of them was named this.
Must join with V'ger.
Was beat. This is just sound. Can you guess what that sound is?
That's the tuba recital with the tuba,
and that's one just sound. But I decided that because I liked this so much.
Must join with V'ger. Must join with V'ger.
I like that so much. I wanted to add something else. And
yeah,
I
gotta add some flavor to it.
Yes. So I was like,
must join with V'ger. Must join with V'ger. Must join with V'ger.
Oops. Wait.
Okay, what's going on?
Must join with V'ger. Must join with V'ger. Must join with V'ger. Must join with V'ger. Must join with V'ger.
That's pretty good.
Do you think anybody will ever get tired of that?
Of what? That beat? That particular
not,
beat?
Not
no,
me.
Just of the sound constructions in general. Because I haven't yet.
Not me.
I don't think our audience has because it continues to grow.
These. Right.
I'm just curious if one day maybe people will be so. Like, you know, you guys got to move on to something else.
Like, stop doing these beats?
No.
It's up to you!
What do I do?
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 Like those?
Yeah.
I don't get tired of them.
No, I don't get tired of them.
I could do a whole episode with all my beats.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe for another bank episode or Patreon episode. By the way,
another bonk episode.
We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/ItScottStarTrek, where we put all sorts of silly stuff on there, including silly stuff like this sometimes.
I want tactile buttons, though.
Is that the next
you
evolution?
You got a tactile button?
How would I even do a tactile button situation with this, though?
No, you wouldn't. You'd have to buy a board. You can get boards that are sound boards.
Yeah, like they're called the instant replay machine.
Board,
yeah, and then you just assign different things.
Get a board.
But the thing is then every episode you'd have to like remap all your stuff.
Yeah, it does pain in the butt.
But you can also, they have buttons where you'll have like 36 buttons.
They got
you can
buttons
map
on
everything,
board.
But then you can like
pages.
Do pages. Yeah.
Instant replay machines are actually pretty expensive last night, which is silly because they're just like a box that plays sound. But.
Now, here's presuming you're in a scenario where you can technically afford it. Do you think it would be worth getting one of those, or where would it be in your priority list? Because there's a couple other sound machines that you were thinking of getting.
It's pretty. Getting an instant replay machine is pretty
sound
low
machines.
On my priority list
as compared to like a synthesizer.
Yeah,
weren't there some particular synthesizers you were interested in?
Yeah, there's some good ones out there. I was looking at the Arturia Polybrute. Polybrute is a pretty cool looking synthesizer.
Now, wouldn't that be something perhaps an evolution of what we do here on the podcast, where you bring that in and you pop some sounds in there and you're like
not for that because
and repeats. And
that's
stuff?
That's an analog synthesizer, so that wouldn't be really
that's for making tunes.
That's for making like sounds and tunes. It's got analog oscillators and it's the ones with all the knobs. They have a ton of knobs. Now, if I were
I like knobs,
but there are synthesizers that are more made towards sampling.
Yeah.
And so, but those are weird because you have a keyboard. It's, I don't know, maybe that would be work, but how would you label each key to know what sound it played?
I don't know.
That's the thing. Grand staff.
You need a convenient, like, readable labeling system.
Yeah. But don't they have the little boxes with the little buttons and you just like dials and stuff and you're like, okay.
You can put little stickers on them. Plop a sound in there
and then it's going to just like start looping that sound.
You get them little stickers, you put them on there.
Well, yeah, maybe if I get stickers. The keys, the keyboard would be a good tactile response, but I need to have the labels in front of me at all times for each thing.
Yeah, man.
This is kind of a tangent we're going on.
It's a good tangent, though.
Yeah.
It's a very good tangent.
It's nice. Yeah.
But
oh yeah,
we do need to take a break soon. So any
break 'em ups,
any pre-break points before we continue and then conclude our discussion of Upper Decks and then move on to our discussion of Fissure Quest.
No way.
No way.
No.
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 No way.
No way.
No way.
No way. I suppose.
Of course not.
One thing I can mention that, I don't know, I'm kind of curious how relevant this is beyond even our local region, but every time they mentioned the term click it, as for the alien,
you gotta click it before you tick it.
No, click it before you tick it? No. Well, I was thinking click it or ticket. They ran ads in our area for wearing a seatbelt that were like, click it or ticket.
Right.
What Dan has done is he's done a parody version of that song where the lady sings, you gotta lick it before we kick it.
Before we kick it.
It's not stick it?
Oh, no. You gotta lick it before you stick it?
No, it's like so we can kick it.
The implication of the song is that the woman is requesting, demanding, one. rightfully so, demanding oral sex prior to sort of
intercourse.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. You gotta lick it before we kick it. You gotta take that extra step so we can kick it. They just rhyme kick it with kick it.
Yeah.
But
well, it's not the most sophisticated song, but I do agree with the core message.
You gotta click it before you tick it.
But see, that doesn't make sense because the commercial was click it or tick it.
Nah, shut up.
The implication was if you didn't click your seatbelt, you would get a ticket from.
But they didn't use that tune.
One of the police.
Not with me around.
All right. How about this? Let's take a break.
They just said click it.
We will recompose ourselves. I was trying to make like a Mozart or Bach joke there, but it didn't come to me in time. So we're gonna go ahead and take the break, recompose ourselves,
and now then
conclude our discussion of Upper Decks. We will be right back.
Okay. Bye.
All right, we're back. Hello,
anything
everyone.
Happened while I was gone?
No, nothing happened.
Oh. Not a mucho.
Activate the Soliton beam.
The clock.
He said that so seriously.
Soliton.
Activate the Soliton beam.
They don't like it when we talk.
That's a different episode.
Are we still on this episode?
Of course we're still on this episode. It's only... Like,
let's do this.
Yes, let's.
So I thought that Stevens had hair. I thought he had hair. Did he ever wear a hairpiece?
Not that I recall.
I thought there was some guy that looked like Billups that had hair.
No, I don't. Well, there might be somebody like Billups who looked like... Well, Billups has hair.
Yeah, Billups has hair, but wasn't there someone...
What about Lundy?
Lundy doesn't... I thought it was Lundy, but I looked at a picture of Lundy, and he doesn't remind me of Billups.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought there was someone... Maybe it's something that they both had a mustache.
A what?
Hey, Jesse, don't mind Dan. This is a new affectation. This is Dan's new mustache-specific affectation. How do you say it again, Dan?
Mustache.
No. Use your new affectation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
You'll appreciate it when you listen back.
Hey, you want to play that game show again next week?
Mustache.
If you're not careful, we're going to play a game of spy games next week.
Oh, no.
Spy games.
Prosecute 'em ups. I gotcha.
Speaking of Billups, he was talking something about like Cordry rocks falling from
yes,
the ceiling.
Yes, Cordry rocks.
I
believe it was Cordry. That's what I heard. The joke being, of course, that in a lot of Star Trek, particularly more modern Star Trek, like Discovery and Strange New Worlds, but it happens in older Star Trek as well, when the ship gets shot and the bridge bursts into flame and stuff, that just chunks of rock will fall out of the ceiling and out of the consoles and be scattered around on the floor.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was like in reference to the fact that Paul Scheer and Rob Corddry are the same Cylon model.
Okay, that took me a couple steps to connect, but I get what you're saying. You're putting Paul Scheer and Rob Corddry into the same sort of niche for actors. They're that, comedic actors.
This person, like every, there is a finite amount of Cylon models. There's more than 12.
Okay.
But there are Cylon models.
All right.
So, and they're part of the same model.
I get what you're saying. I would like to note to the audience that prior to recording the podcast, Dan was going on arguing with Jesse and I, claiming that Sweet Tarts and Smarties are basically the same thing.
Well, they're in the same, like, fucking game. I don't want to say ballpark. I use that phrase too much. They're on the same track. They're on the same track.
On the same track.
You were about to say something about, like, they're on the same game field or something. It's not ballpark, but they're on the same game
field. They're on the same track.
All right.
There's a general
Smarties and Sweet Tarts are more similar
than Rob Corddry and Paul Scheer?
No, Smarties and Sweet Tarts are more similar than dill pickles and bread and butter pickles.
Okay, yeah, that was another thing that during this argument, I suggested that while the broad category, yes, maybe they filled Smarties and Sweet Tarts could fit in the same broad category, that similar to bread and butter pickles versus dill pickles, they are sufficiently different to be, yes, they're all pickles, but they're very different from each other. I think the same thing is true for Sweet Tarts and Smarties, and I think the same thing is true for Rob Corddry and Paul Scheer. And we should specify we're talking about North American Smarties, not UK Smarties.
Damn.
I think Smarties and Sweet Tarts are more similar than dill pickles and bread and butter pickles.
That's my whole worldview. Stop trying to shake it.
All right. Fair point.
See, that's a bold statement, my friend.
We needn't push you too hard.
I said that before.
Now, but that doesn't, but when you make them all equal, that doesn't even, that makes no qualification of how similar you think they are. So as far as I know, you could think they're not similar at all.
I don't think they're particularly similar.
Okay, so you're saying that Sweet Tarts are as similar to Smarties as a dog is to a sock? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, man.
No. I mean, yes, of course, we could spend a long time going back and forth and narrowing our respective definitions because we're both coming from different perspectives. This is a largely subjective opinion. Not entirely, not wholly subjective.
Different perspectives. It's largely
subjective. They are not as different as a dog and a sock. I will give you that.
See?
We can stipulate to that fact, Dan. But Smarties and Sweet Tarts, the texture is different, the size is different, and the flavor is different, right? Sweet Tarts
they
are
all have
sweet and tart.
No, because like Sweet Tarts and Smarties both have that kind of just pure sugar flavor.
They are pure sugar, but Smarties are...
Depending on texture and flavor.
Yes, and the texture of Smarties is a more brittle... softer.
Yeah, but these
sugar.
Are more. These are more
Sweet
nuanced.
Tarts are,
these
are
more
stronger.
These are more nuanced differences.
But the main difference is the flavor. Sweet Tarts have a very tart flavor. They really lean into that whole tart business.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Smarties are a very pleasant and mild,
pretty sugary
flavor. I love them both. They're both great candies, but I would pull them out in different contexts and for different purposes.
Like for like a Twizzler is so much different than either of those things.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
That
is
correct, sir.
No argument from either Jesse.
So in order for things to be similar, they have to be basically the same for you.
No.
That's not similar. That's the same. I'm talking about similarity. No. You're talking about sameness.
From far away, man. They're similar, but...
You have a broad definition of unique.
No. Unique is... that's one of my bugaboos. I hate when people say very unique. Bugaboo. You can't be very unique.
I didn't say very unique.
I didn't say you did, but I'm pointing this out. The unique, I care a lot about the word...
And the misuse of the word unique. And you have a broad...
You cannot apply an adjective to unique that stresses one thing or the other. Unique means unique. It means one of a kind.
It depends, one of a kind. I mean, but you could say something is uniquely sweet or uniquely brown.
That's different. That's totally acceptable.
And so that's what I'm
uniquely
saying.
Uniquely is an adverb.
You have a very sort of broad definition of what, like, you have a narrow definition of what is similar.
All right. What were we talking about? Star Trek? Paul. Paul Corddry and Rob Scheer.
No.
I don't actually find them that similar. I know that they are contemporaries, but I think that though they are
they're
both
like bald guys,
bald middle-aged
that's
comedians.
Not, that's not why I think they're similar.
I don't put them in the thing because Paul Scheer.
The
has,
hair has nothing to do with it.
Paul Scheer has a certain sort of. He's capable of combining both a sweetness and a,
like Sweet Tarts
and a tartness. That's right. That's actually. Thank you. This justifies our entire previous few minutes of conversation because Paul Scheer can do the Sweet Tart thing, whereas what Rob Corddry can do the sweet kind of shitty thing, you know?
Okay, here's something.
Sheer can be unctuous more so than Cordry, who's just sort of like off-putting.
In this thread, this Reddit thread, this guy says, Paul Scheer look-alike, and the first comment says, Rob Cordry?
Yeah, okay, they're similar. False. They're definitely similar, but I would still utilize them in different scenarios.
Yes, I'm not saying they're the fucking same. I'm saying they're similar.
Yeah, and I'm just saying it's going to be a rare occurrence that
if I've developed a character
and I'm casting it, if I'm thinking of a Paul Scheer type or a Rob Cordry type, I'm not going to do a reversey and be like, oh, I can interchange those. If they're not available, if Paul Scheer is not available for a Paul Scheer type, I'm not going to meet Rob Cordry. I'm going to go to somebody else.
Shit. That's stupid.
Good job, button boy.
Everyone thinks you're a doofus.
I accept that.
Button boy.
Oh, your face fell off. I guess I have to compliment you on a successful invasion. I'm impressed with your whole vibe. You're handsome. You're handsome. I love your work. You're amazing at subterfuge.
All right, we only have a few more.
Stirring stuff, Mr. Bingston. I wish I could stay.
Act
but...
seven.
The Oberth year.
The Oberth year.
Yeah, because Oberth is a class of ship. Oberth class, like in Star Trek 3. I think the USS Grissom was an Oberth class ship, if I recall correctly.
Hermann Julius Oberth was an Austro-Hungarian-born German physicist and rocket pioneer of Transylvanian Saxon descent.
Hey, I'm part Austro-Hungarian.
He supported Nazi Germany's war, apparently.
Oh, probably. I'm not into that.
Not cool.
That's a strong stance.
I strongly disavow National Socialism and all the tenets associated therein.
That's not good stuff at all.
Good. No. Mosaro, when the lake was smooth.
But at least it's an ethos.
Okay. Yeah, granted.
That's a Big Lebowski joke. So, okay, but yes, before we conclude our discussion,
I think it's cute.
Because we've only got a few minutes left. I thought it did make sense for us to
Gormaganders. There's Gormaganders and
you're a Gormagander.
Like, were these like space manatees? No, they were more like bugs. They were space bugs.
Buggies.
Yeah, they're bagoons.
But they weren't manatees. But he still called them space cows.
Well, what I was trying to get out,
well, they look like cows to me.
Is that we should at least briefly touch on the core.
Touch on you.
The core story for each of the characters. Starting with Ransom, might as well start with the bagoons and Ransom.
I touched on it a little at the beginning.
Yes, you did. But I thought, let's just go into a little bit more detail, because I think one of the key things here, and we're going to see more of this in the next episode, and I'll talk about that in a moment.
Do you want to know what was on Freeman's pad?
What I want to know is how my sentence concludes. That's what I would like to
know.
I'd
like to know that, too.
Oh, man.
I would like to know.
How ironic.
Is Patrick... that's the thing, is I don't think he is...
The part of Dan tonight is being played by Patrick.
I don't think Patrick is... Oh, you do feel empathy then. Okay, I wasn't sure if you felt that empathy or if you were just completely oblivious.
I'm hyper empathetic.
How does it feel, motherfucker?
With the characters, what I dig about this story is that not only do we get to see a little bit more of each of these characters, or at least a bunch of them, but Lower Decks is so good at having the characters act the way the characters are supposed to act, right? They tell stories within the confines of how they've characterized these characters and how their characters have evolved. I apologize for saying the word character.
You're such a character.
I am. Just because you are a character does not mean you have character.
Big time.
Yeah. And with Ransom, we get to see again that Ransom is a good leader. He comes off as sort of a jackass a lot of the times. Jackass Ransom, but he knows what he's doing, and he's good. He's good at working these ensigns and getting them to do what they needed to do. It took him a few tries, but he got there in the end. And I like that they had the ensign recognize that. Right? Was it Barnes? I forget who it was at the end.
No, that was Moxie.
Moxie.
So Moxie was the red hair. Fedorov was the dude. Then there was Karavitas was the one who's slightly longer hair. Yes. And then you
Barnes
said-
is the Bob.
You said Castro was
Barnes
the one with the shorter.
Oh, Castro. Sorry, tuba. Barnes is the tuba player. I apologize. Yeah, Castro was the one.
Sousaphone, actually.
Yeah,
Sousaphone, right. Sorry.
And Castro is played by Gabrielle Ruiz, who also plays Talin. She's fantastic. Castro is a great character.
Yeah, I know.
Dan's going to push it
big
back.
Time.
There we go. Okay.
Big time globbers.
That's right. That's your name, Dan Globbers.
Big time.
But yeah, so Ransom had that storyline, which was cool. And we did go into a little bit more detail about the Billups storyline, which is, again, the easily excitable engineer, a standard trope in Star Trek, but they got to have so much fun with the techno babble. And, of course, his ensign was had an Australian accent, which we don't get to hear a lot. We've heard it a couple times, and I think it was on Lower Decks that we've heard these an Australian accent. And techno babble.
Charlotte Nichtow.
Yeah, Charlotte Nichtow, an Australian accent doing techno babble is wonderful, and we should have more of that.
Well, their non-centrosymmetry disrupts the charged leptons and the isolinear pathways of the main deflector, which then...
Of course.
We have to decouple the deuterium conduits before the thermal blankets push the valve box into the adjustment coils.
And I'll deactivate the magnetic constrictors while you cycle the reactor conduits.
The reactor conduits. I like that. Reactor conduits. Yeah. Fantastic. Do more of that, Star Trek. That's what we need.
Yeah.
We like seeing different aliens. We like seeing different shades of skin, different cultural costumes and things like that.
I felt stuck out of phase like Geordi and Roe wandering.
Different types of English-speaking countries.
Yes, let's get some more different types of English accents going on. You know,
strong and brave, wise and true. That's what makes us the Rito's crew.
Yeah!
Plenty of
nothing
American.
Would ever happen around here without the bridge crew.
Various UK accents.
Classic Cerritos.
We need more... Aussie accents, we need more New Zealand accents. New Zealand, they just flatten out the veils.
How about South African?
South African would be great. That's a tricky one to do because of the Dutch influence down there. Jamaican.
So?
If it's done properly, appropriately.
At a contest, doesn't this sound like someone's going like, Gwa?
So?
Like she just saw something surprising or shocking, like that came out of nowhere that confused her. And so she's like,
So?
She's like, Gwa? So? But she's actually talking to her husband.
All right. So, yes. Yes. Okay, Dan. Yes, I agree.
Do you want to know what Freeman had on her pad for her schedule that day? She had from 9 to 9:30.
Tell us right now.
I think this is the definition of a rhetorical question. Dan asked a question
you
that
wanna know?
He was not looking for an answer to.
Yes.
You ought to know.
Yes. This is, one could assume that. But okay. What
did she have on her pad, Dan? What did she have on her pad?
It was the longest way I could think to say it, so I had time to get my shit in order.
Okay.
From 9 to 9:30, she had a staff meeting. And we saw that.
And about her senior staff, not about a staff infection.
No.
No.
Presumably. I don't think anyone...
Not much happened at that meeting. It just didn't... It was just
well,
a
didn't
thing.
She get like
they
a...
High-fived.
Like a,
yeah, they high-fived.
Did she get like a something... A Zyrtok paradox... Of something kind of paradox... Parasite or something? Was it a parasite? What was the sickness Barnes got?
Oh, yeah. I forget what they called it.
Yeah,
did they give it a name?
I guess that was a debriefing.
Yeah.
Know.
I didn't get the
name
of the...
She evolved and de-evolved at the same
she
time.
She was psychic and cave
afraid
person.
Of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They imagined a candle.
I didn't. It took me a minute.
It did take me a minute.
It took me. Yeah, I don't know why, but I didn't get that at first. It felt silly. Okay, so staff meeting.
Staff meeting.
And the conference room that looks like TNG's conference room. Mm-hmm. 10:11, they were at a bar.
10 till 11.
They were at a bar for Barnes's sousaphone recital. Right. 11:30 to 12:30, they were in the multi-purpose room for the fertility event.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, with that guy.
It's a gross use of the multi-purpose room.
Yeah, it was pretty
somebody
gross.
Had to clean that shit up.
Yeah. 1300 to 1500, stage 6 was Winger Bingston Jr.'s one man show.
Winger Bingston Jr.
And then
I can't wait till he has a kid.
I get that all the time.
The kid's going to be Winger Bingston the 3rd.
Then 1530 to 1730. This is interesting. This is the only one that goes out of order. Every place begins, every scheduled event begins with place, then event, place, then event. Stage 6, one man show. From 1530 to 1730, it says meeting, holodeck 3. It puts the location second instead of first. Instead, it should have said holodeck 3 meeting, but
that's
it says
a good, that's
meeting
a good catch.
Holodeck.
That's a good catch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess it's good they're ending this show. The quality's fucking slipping.
I know. I like that during the fertility event, it was like all weird. Like it was all like ambiguous because like everything about him was like a human.
Yeah.
They didn't even give his name. And like, and then on the
so congratulations, it's a life
it's
form.
It's a life form. Yeah. And
life forms. You lovely little life forms.
And they are.
Data generations.
Yeah. And then she was all like, I didn't know you were not a human. So. I thought it's true because there's a lot of like human looking non-humans and stuff.
Well, and, we Dan, you did a good job of explicating what Captain Freeman's arc here was in this episode, where she was spending a lot of her time, sometimes seeming a little bit frustrated or tired, but sincerely appreciating her crew and supporting them, even if she wasn't super excited about whatever it was that she was supporting in particular, and how important that was to her. But what we haven't talked about as much is Shax's business, and I know it's pretty straightforward, but I just wanted to call out, like, it was hilarious, the idea of doing astral projection to fight your own demons.
Yeah.
That's just fucking funny.
Yeah, it was first ghost Shax, and then there was a bunch of Cardassian. They were saying warriors, but then he was they're occupiers.
Yeah.
And they were all zombies. And then after he killed his ghost self turned into a zombie.
Yes.
It was all fucking weird.
It was great, multi-layered, and I like that he's both affected by it, right? Like, Shax is a tough guy, but they always show him, not always, but they frequently show him as having issues and concerns and PTSD, but he's also strong enough to deal with it, right? And I really like that combination of showing that this hyper-tough person nevertheless can suffer, right? That's true to real life. Hyper tough people, no matter how strong you think they are, though, in fact, sometimes those are the people who suffer the most when they're dealing with things like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But I also like that, yes, he suffered from it, but he's also able to overcome it, right? So they're kind of like showing both sides of
and
it.
He
kind of
knows that
it's not an insurmountable thing. And I like having a hopeful message. It is one thing to show a character suffering, but it is nice when appropriate and done well. And I think they did it well here, showing that yes, you can, it's important to know people can suffer. It's also important to know that there are ways to fight, and he was able to fight through his own means. But then at the end, I thought it was really cute how Dr. Miglimo was like, had that little line about psychotherapy can help give you other tools in your fight against this thing, which was fun. And I guess there's no Scientologists on this writing crew.
Yo, people are always coming back to life.
That's a
Shax exploded, and he's doing great.
All right. So anything else about this episode? Otherwise, we can move along.
It's called the Zerta pathogen.
Zerta pathogen.
And also, I just want to...
Like Zyrtec.
Yeah. I also want to mention that when Tana like went ham on that dude, that was violent.
Yeah.
That was hard to listen to.
Yeah. No, good call. Yeah. No, Tana. I like how you're like, that was really upsetting and disturbing. Here, let me play it.
And it was also upsetting was the fertility event.
Here we go! As I said earlier, the sound design on this show, and particularly this episode, is fantastic.
When you mix them together, you get...
Here we go! Now, do you want to add that? Now, can you want to layer into that?
Must join with Vija. 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 Must join with Vija.
Oops.
Must join with Vija. 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 Must join with Vija.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was very good.
Yeah.
And no, you know,
I was fucking up because I was pressing them in the wrong order at first.
I think you're right though, Dan. I don't think anyone was ever gonna get bored of that.
Nope.
Okay, all right. Good work. Very good work on that episode. We've concluded our discussion of Upper Decks.
What?
Now we're transitioning to our discussion of Fissure Quest.
Hologram? Oh, Fissure Quest.
Yeah.
Hologram. Okay.
You said holograms just sort of instinctually said holograms.
It tricked you.
You didn't even instinctually play the hologram clip. You just said holograms.
Hologram?
Hologram?
That's gotten to that point.
Yeah, well, now you got to play the clip.
Holograms.
Holograms?
Holograms.
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 Indeed. Okay.
Wait. I didn't get to play the last one. Holograms.
Holograms.
There you go.
There we go. Holograms.
Holograms.
We've now
Successfully. Yeah, we've done it now.
Successfully.
Now we've done it.
Transition.
Are we transitioning?
We're transitioning into our
next episode.
Our discussion of Fissure Quest.
Fissure Quest.
Go home, big guy.
Now, with Fissure Quest, we get a another episode.
Okay. Let's do it.
We get another episode.
You know, we could spend like less time on this week and then pack some of this episode into next week.
We could, but I think we might as well. I have my notes here, so we might as well talk about Fissure Quest. I'm sure we'll be talking about Fissure Quest a lot next week too, because it'll wrap into the conclusion.
Do you think we're going to see like all the Bashiran people next week?
I don't know. I mean, I presume that we're going to see some sort of conclusion to what's going on with them, but maybe not.
That's f***ed up.
Maybe not. Maybe the story is now completely shifted. No, like, let's back up a bit, right?
So, okay.
Beep, beep, right?
Beep, 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 beep,
as we now know, having watched this episode, we know that this is the first part of a two-part episode that is going to close down the series. So it's going to be a two-part series finale, and that it is going.
I love it.
Yes, and that it is going to wrap up the season-long arc related to these fissures that have opened up.
Ah, right, fissures.
And as I think we probably predicted along the way, although I don't think it's too complicated of a prediction if you've been watching Lower Decks, is that it turns out that these fissures are not being caused by a malevolent entity of some sort.
You're a depraved villain!
There doesn't appear to be maliciousness involved.
It is a
side effect of a different form of transportation that was developed by an alternate version of Lily Sloane with an alternate version of Zefram Cochran.
That happened to my Riker, too.
Star Trek. They got Star Trek.
They got totally Star Trek. Now, there are some things are a little bit tricky about this plot, and we can get into those later. But first, we want to go to what Dan's about to say. Dan was about to say something. He's reporting on the scene, and I would like to very much to hear what he's going to say.
Oh. Well,
okay, great. This is
no. I was just gonna. I was just gonna. God, you just put me on the spot.
I mean, normally you're Johnny on the spot where you're like, bibbidi bobbidi. I'm gonna say all this shit. Like, I even know to default, I'll just start talking about eating poop if I can't think of anything. But
I'm pretty great.
But you can't talk about ripping balls.
For the first time in fucking 268 episodes, you're like,
I'm okay. I'm okay.
I don't know.
Okay. What happened?
It's okay.
I was just going to add to what you were saying about, like, how...
Why are you shaking your hands like this? You're freaking out. You're having a little anxiety attack. Be like Shax. Fight it off. Astral project.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting. how they can't actually travel far distances.
Yeah.
They can travel across dimensions, but they can't travel across distances. And Boimler, like, is gatekeeping exploration by being all like, you can't even travel far.
That's a separate point.
Yeah. Well, no, but
it's a related point.
It's related. It's related in the sense that, like, it's interesting to think that they're both explorers, but in literally different literally different dimensional explorers, because they go far and they go cross dimensional. And it's interesting.
You're saying there's more than two dimensions?
Yes. That I think I think it's interesting. It's like an interesting way of sort of looking at it, how they both have different perspectives as a role, as how they explore differently. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Totally,
and in fact, I wanted to ask you guys, what is your opinion? Given the two philosophical positions presented here, one being from William Boimler suggesting that exploring further distances in the same universe is more interesting, meeting different groups of people and learning about their culture, etc. Whereas Sloane provides a very convincing argument that she's mapping, as she put it, she's mapping the possibilities for humanity.
Well, I think part of
what would you want to explore?
Well, I think part of Boimler's point was sort of it was sort of made as a result, I think, of the sort of commentary I think they were making on like all like the multiverse shit that goes on in all like shows and shit right now. It's like a big topic, and it's sort of like it's just a different. It's like a reverse Picard or I don't know, human warp, and it's like
right, the human warp. Yeah, like, I don't know,
human warp,
right? Just like the stupidest thing you could think of.
Yeah, and so I thought. So part of his hatred comes off of because of that, which is a joke on how there's so much of that shit going around. But literally, what would I do? I don't know. I think like it would be cool to travel to different realities and shit. I'd get to see all sorts of different versions of myself. And now would it be okay to have sex with yourself? You know, those kind of questions would happen. And then you'd have to.
I like how you're not like. You're not like, it's possible those it's types of things up. Could come up. You're like, it's those types of things up. Will happen.
Yeah.
Definitely happen.
I think
you're like as soon as this happens, I'm gonna be in a moral dilemma.
I think it would
get the impression from your perspective it's not that much of a dilemma.
Well, I think it would happen so much that they'd make a law against it. I'm pretty sure.
You think they'd make a law against having sex with your own like alternate versions of yourself?
Yeah, of course they would.
Why would they do that?
Because they're all Puritan.
Who's they?
The people who make laws are all Puritan.
Yeah, but the universe isn't all America.
No, okay. No, see, here's what it is.
You could have some Scandinavian universes.
This is why it would happen. We'd have laws in place about everything, blah, blah, blah. We don't take this situation into account until we discover transdimensional travel. And then we've got this new concept of like, wait, now people can have sex with themselves. And it's going to freak people out because they're so not used to this idea. They're like, what do we do? This is weird.
I think people are used to this.
This is new. This is weird. I don't understand it. We should have a law against it. That's generally how now, shit like that works.
Do you think that
because it's
law,
new and different?
This law, let me just, for clarification purposes, do you think that the Puritan universal overlords that have put this law into place, would they apply the law equally across all alternatives or only same-sex alternatives? Are these homophobic lawmakers is what I'm getting
I don't
at.
Think there
or
is.
Or if it was a girl version, a la like Loki in the show Loki. Because
you could have a female.
You could have a female version of Dan called Daniela or Daniela Long.
Whoa, what in the, what, where Danny, am, how did
Danny.
It?
It'd be Daniela Shortclips. I would be hanging out with Danny Long.
Nice try!
What's the other one? Danny Globbers? but would you think that they would
Daniela
have a problem with that? Would it only be the homosexual? Are they homophobic or are they just against the idea of self-love?
I think there's no... it's just self-love. I don't think the sexuality comes into play at all. I don't think that's considered at all.
Well,
big time globbers.
We will see if they address this in next week's
because I think, like, yeah... The sexuality, like whether it's like same sex or different sex, like that's not really what they're thinking about that freaks them out. What freaks them out is that it's like a different, it's like yourself. It's like, that's crazy. You know, like you're having sex with yourself. Oh my God. You know, like. You know, a lot of people are against masturbation for, you know, the churches. There's some, not all church, but there are churches that are against masturbation.
Those types, they probably haven't even thought about it yet. Now you're putting it out there.
That's what I'm saying. It's new.
Now they're going to think about it.
And they don't know how to handle new things. And people are afraid of new things that they don't understand. So they would be afraid that it would somehow result in a bunch of like there would probably be. Do you think there's some kind of like if you had sex with the opposite sex version of yourself and made a baby, do you think there's some weird sort of condition that baby would
it creates a hole in the universe.
Well, yeah, it might be some kind of like well, the other thing the is baby would have whole universe holes all over
the other,
its head.
The other thing is going to create a hole in the universe is if we do not take a break because we're way past time to take a break.
Why do we want to take a break?
We want to take a break. Jesse's right. We want to this is segue out of this conversation because I don't want to, you know, we have an unusually high listenership within the Vatican and I don't want them to get the wrong idea and start thinking about, you know, writing some letters to
one of them papal bulls.
It's not a letter to the editor. It's like a letter to the Pope or something, a letter from the Pope to everybody else.
A papal bull.
Who says like, don't fuck your internet dimensional self.
That happened to my Riker too.
Yeah, we don't want to be dealing with that. So
because it's fun.
We'll go on break and then when we get back, we will conclude our discussion.
Maybe take a break since we're, you know, on a break.
Fissure Quest and talk a little bit about what's coming next week. All right, we will be right back.
Shit. Kim Crew, roll out.
All right, we are back. We have returned.
Well, we better hurry then. Your schedule's pretty full.
Indeed.
Shit. Okay. Commander, are you busy?
Are you busy? Again, you're playing stuff from the previous episode.
You got to get with the program.
Hey, what's up, my man?
Is that better?
I don't know.
Yes.
Slightly better.
It's all right.
Yeah, keep it up.
So there was like there was like an A plot, there was like a B plot, there was a C plot, there was a D plot.
Wait, 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 I'm not done. Was it a D plot?
I'm not done speaking. Right. There was a D plot and there was an introduction to an E plot.
These nuts.
Speaking of Tim Robinson, there was like that, do you ever see that Z shirt sketch on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
It's like, is it an A shirt? Is it a B shirt? Is it a C? Okay, but
the audience doesn't know about Tim because we were talking about Tim Robinson over the break.
Oh, right.
We were talking about the
I forget
the,
how
the tables
how time
sketch.
And recording works.
Oh, yeah.
For all I know, they
I know it's mind blowing.
For all I know, they're listening to us right the second. You know,
well,
right.
maybe that'll be a feature we open up to our Patreon.
That's what I always think.
At some point in the future,
I'm doing it.
If you pay us $10,000 a month,
live from Patrick's basement.
Yes, you can just hang out with us in the basement. You can be one of those people that sits in the background and is like.
Yeah. I love it.
Don't you think it'd be good if we had some of those? Is that something that our podcast is lacking? Is that the next evolution
might
of the
be
podcast?
Cool.
Oh, no way.
Maybe starting in episode 300, we can just have a couple people in the background. Like,
just put a mic over there.
Yeah. And... I like the sycophantic laughter from off mic, you know?
Some yeah. Like... That works too.
Oh, Patrick, that's so funny. Huh. Yeah, that's okay. Good. And that was Jesse. That was loud enough to cover up most of Jesse's sneezes.
I know. He took that as a good opportunity to sneeze.
Jesse's
yeah,
so
keep
far,
it up.
He's so far from the microphone, but
how many
still
sneezes
here.
Was that?
Well, that's a thing that Jesse does, right?
I don't care.
Jesse's a multi-sneezer. Hey,
like
you,
seven or eight
you
sneezes.
Out there in the audience, if any of you are multi-sneezers, write us in at feedback at... write us in at feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. With the subject line.
I do the same for you.
The subject line, multi-sneezer, and let us know if you're a multi-sneezer. Jesse's definitely a multi-sneezer. I'm an occasional
just,
multi-sneezer.
A geezer.
Darling, I haven't thought about it at all.
Indeed. Okay, well.
So there were the different plots. I listed the letters.
Now, you've listed the letters, and now you have to assign a plot to each letter.
The first one is the Rifting Through Riffs plot.
All right. Why is Dan pausing for a compliment?
Yeah,
rogue,
I'm waiting for some
rogue
compliment. That was a good observation, Dan.
No, I mean, it really for a moment struck me that you were like, you know what? I'm going to wait.
I'm going to milk this one for all it's worth.
I said rifting on rifts.
Yeah, that was a funny thing.
And that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is an astute simile, Mr. Kim.
Jesse is previewing some of our ASMR, future ASMR.
Keep it up.
This is the category of sickly ASMR, where you just get a bunch of, like, coughing.
Hey, come on, you're sparking my Raptogino. Don't do that.
Okay, so what was it? A plot was rifting on rifts.
Yeah, they were just going through the rifts, doing the rift thing.
Totally.
Then the B plot was Garrick and Bashir figuring out whose reality to live in.
Yes.
I like that dynamic because, you know, Garrick's totally in charge of that relationship, but mm-hmm. it's just like they're like real dynamic in DS9. Yes. He's like a pest with his words or something.
He's a pest with his words.
I don't know how else to say it, but
well, I'm sure you'll think of. We have about 25 minutes left in this podcast. Okay. I think
well, like
at some
how
point
he said, like,
in that you will.
It was fun to argue.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was. Yeah, we were still talking about how it was fun to argue with him, and Bashir, you know, was like getting all exasperated with him the whole time.
Yeah.
But I like how Bashir made him sleep in on the floor, and so Bashir could get to bed, and mm-hmm. then he just disappeared.
And Bashir's a hologram.
And he just disappeared right there.
Now, all the hologram jokes with it were great. But we'll get back to that. Let's keep going down the list.
Okay.
Let's go down the list, and then we can go into more detail on each of those.
Okay. And there's Harry Kim's dilemma with themselves and the dangers.
That's a lot of Harry
the dangers of two pip Kim. By the way, I want to mention that at the beginning of the episode, we see when Two-Pip Kim goes into the room with all the other Kims, at first there's eight of them. But at the end of the episode, when they all defect to the ship, actually the other Kims got tricked into defecting.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were seven of them. So there was including Two-Pip Kim, there was nine in the first scene, in the first
so
room
a missing
scene.
Kim.
And there was eight at the end. Yeah, there's a missing Kim.
I will say, though,
an errant Harry.
In both of those.
An errant Harry. Indeed.
In both of those scenes,
Kim, 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 Kim.
There's no specific reason to believe that every single Kim is accounted for because they said there were Kims.
Not
all
every
over,
Kim was accounted
they
for.
Said there were, they implied there were Kims all over the ship, right? So, good observation, but probably we can just assume that one of those Kims was moving around. Maybe they were in the Sonic bathroom.
What a surprise! Another Harry Kim.
Because I've always wondered, they have a Sonic shower. Does that mean they have access to a Sonic bidet?
Ooh.
Mm. Do you think they have Sonic French fries?
Or buzz your butt right off.
Do you think that in Australia they ever say bidet, mate?
I'm Harry f***ing Kim!
How come there was only one clarinet? You'd think they'd have like... A couple of Harry Kims. They've been playing like clarinet quartets and shit.
Well, there was one. I either the same Kim held the same clarinet the whole time or they were passing it around. But I like how they, it was like even in jail, like they had the clarinet.
Instead of a harmonica.
You know, and one thing when I was naming my sound files that I should have done, but I didn't really want to put in the effort. I usually tried it. Like I put a lot of effort into naming like Karavitas and Moxie and Fedorov last episode, and I couldn't find Castro. But
it was in the caption.
As I was doing this halfway through this, I should have differentiated between 2-Pip Kim and the Kim. But I didn't. I didn't do that. But okay, so there's that.
You should have differentiated between all the individual
Lieutenant
Kims.
Harry.
That would be crazy.
Clarinet Kim and then Goofy. Right.
We don't know
Kim.
If Clarinet Kim is the same Kim, though.
You could put it in parentheses, like maybe.
I think we can make that assumption just as much as we can make the assumption that they miscounted
the
number.
Wait,
I'm not done. I'm saying what I'm saying. We can make that assumption the same as we can make the assumption that they put the wrong amount of Kims in the beginning and the end, that there was a continuity error there because there was 9 total at the beginning and 8 total at the end.
To me, it's a different thing because, there's a very good critique. Where I would say the difference is in this case, in my perspective, is that it would not be a categorization for a character, but rather a categorization for the utility or the output of the character, which would be the clarinet playing. Because in each case, the clarinet Kim would be playing the clarinet. And that's what you would be playing is the tape of them playing the clarinet.
Your anger masks the fear that I am correct. Perhaps you should moderate your eating habits.
Clarinet Kim had some kind of headgear on, right? He had some kind of funny like headband or something. So remember that? Does anybody remember that, Clarinet Kim?
I don't remember that.
Okay,
no.
Well, goddamn you.
Well, that to Paul clip brings me to, by the way, to Paul, I love how like smug, how good at being smug she is.
Jolene Blaylock, it's so wonderful to have her back. I know that she was, reluctant to come back to Star Trek for a little while.
Oh, was she?
Well, I think there was on any of the Rick Berman series is the...
Oh, she had problems with that.
The various women often did not have great experiences.
It was funny to have like an alternate Mariner.
Yes.
Who was slightly different.
Oh, but we haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh,
Dan's going down his list.
Right. Yeah.
T'Pol is good at being T'Pol. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, like when Curzon said,
"Oh, you'd love to rub that in my face, wouldn't you, Vulcan?"
And she goes,
"I would not."
Because it's like, she's a Vulcan. Yeah, she wouldn't. But that's what makes it worse, the fact that not only is it perfectly, it's worse because she's talking from a purely logical perspective, so it's like more true, but also secretly she really does get
it. So which plot is the T'Pol plot?
So secretly, she really does get enjoyment.
You gotta
from
give
it.
Us our letters.
I know. I'm leading into that.
I know, but it's a recap. A is rifting, rifting.
I know,
rift,
but
rift.
I was segueing from that into what we were talking
about.
Okay,
and B is what? Remind us again. B is
Garrick and Bashir figuring out whose reality to live in.
C is
Harry Kim's dilemma with himself.
Great. D
wait, is. You won't even let me finish God, slow down.
All right.
Okay? I was finishing my point to get to my next one.
Okay.
Harry Kim's dilemma with himself and the danger of 2-Pip Kim.
Okay.
D is the contentious but ultimately caring relationship between T'Pol and Curzon.
Okay.
Interestingly, Curzon is the only voice that's not actually played by the original actor.
Which I personally, and we'll get to it, we don't have to talk about it now, also makes me think it's the weakest part of the episode. All right, next.
Then at the end, which is really second part of A, it's the introduction to the other side of Rifting with Riffs. So you could argue that's part of the same plot, but it's the scenery changed so drastically and the characters and the scenery changed so drastically that I consider that
because now we're dealing
part.
With Lily Sloan and her people, and then eventually at the end Lola Decker's
Are we dealing with Lily Sloan?
No, I was trying to clarify what did you mean by the other plot, because we don't know, like the Rifting because with the Rifters is rifting, but then but it's from one side. When you said the other side, I thought maybe you meant the Lily Sloan people, because then they come across
negative.
They come across the Lily Sloan people. You're considering that all part of the A plot. And then you're saying that the Lower Deckers at the end having to figure out how to solve this is the beginning.
Yes.
It's an E plot, but it's gonna be the A plot of the next episode.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Good. Now
good.
Which one would you like to discuss in more detail in the waning minutes of the show?
Let's see. Garrick and Bashir, is there anything to say about that? It's great.
I also thought that they did some of the most accurate, or no, that's not the right, I don't know what the right term is, but like it took me back the most. Andrew Robinson in particular playing Garrick, spot on. Bashir, most of his lines spot on. And I bring this up because when you have the characters come back, a lot of these people are, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years older than
I know how you operate, Elam Garak.
But they were playing the characters at this age, and you can tell in some cases, right? Mm-hmm. Like with Brent Spiner in Purple Data.
Yeah, you can.
You know, it's a little different. I think Harry Kim, it's very interesting. In some of the lines, he kind of doesn't sound like Harry Kim, you know? But in others, he does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Garrett Wang, I think, did a very good job in this episode, but is a little inconsistent. Andrew Robinson was 100% spot on.
Die hard.
He just sounded like Garrett. And Bashir, most of his lines did. A few of them sounded a little like older.
What about this?
Photonic beings don't really benefit from massage. Benefit from massage. That, from massage. Massage. That, massage. That, massage.
That,
massage.
That was one of the ones I thought sounded less Bashir-y and more Alexander Siddig-y.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Andrew Robinson, I just recently read his book that came out a number of years ago, A Stitch in Time.
I don't care.
Highly recommended. It came highly recommended. I meant to read it for years. I just had never gotten around to it.
I know how you operate, Elam Garak.
People should get it, but I've also, after reading it, and I did read it in the traditional format using, you know.
In the biblical sense?
No, I meant with runes. You know, you like look at the runes and your eye translates them into words. The runes we call the alphabet.
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien?
I love the story. The story was fantastic.
Chief O'Brien.
The story was fantastic. Good, we have another one for our collection.
Trip Tucker.
Where would I stay?
A Stitch in Time is great.
Trip Tucker.
But I heard that A Stitch in Time is even better when you get the audiobook because it's Andrew Robinson reading it in character as Garrick.
Oh, and that's weird. That's crazy.
It's supposedly just brilliant. So I'm gonna give it some time since I just finished reading it, but then I'm going to get the audiobook of that. So anyway, that part of that story, it was cute.
Because it's fun.
And I like how they were able to give us, I don't know what the portmanteau of Garrick and Bashir is. Garir?
Barak. Bashak.
I took an oath to do no harm.
Whatever the slash fiction is for Garrick and Bashir, it was nice to get to finally see that on screen.
I know how you operate, Elam Garak.
Now that's a good, that sounded like Bashir. That sounded like
I really don't
Bashir.
Care where we end up as long as we're together.
Yes.
No, it's not!
And of course,
what? Then why have we been arguing? Because it's fun.
No, it's not!
And we got to see Garrick help save the day, which was cool. Yeah. So that was the B story.
That was the B story. Okay, C story. Harry Kim. I like this idea that there's a good reason why Harry Kim never got promotion, because when he does, it all goes to his head and becomes a psychopath.
Complete asshole.
Yeah, total piece of shit.
Although that guy got all the way up to lieutenant.
He did mainly go bad once he saw relative to the rest of the universe is what the deal was. But I do like that interpretation. I also really appreciate that when they did this story, yes, he got promoted, but he's only 2-pip, Harry.
Right.
Like, given the time frame, you'd presume he might be a commander.
Or
even a captain.
He's only gone up 2 ranks.
Exactly. He's barely gone up at all. So that's kind of hilarious as well.
Yeah.
Anything else about the Harry Kim gag? It was a good gag. I did enjoy that.
The ship we're chasing is ripping open the bubbles.
I don't know why I like that line. That's a good line.
You can play, like it, play it again.
The ship we're chasing is ripping open the bubbles.
Just to ripping clarify, open the bubbles.
That's about the A plot. So
I kind of like, I've heard, I mean, I think, I feel like I've heard that description of multiple universes before where it's like just these membranes sort of bumping into each other.
Sure,
what did you, how'd you feel about the whole description of why this was happening? So Mariner said that she, like the reason that the second hole was being created was Mariner discovered, who by the way, Mariner, I like that she was like, on the one hand, she was opposite of Mariner because she wasn't into danger. She'd never been to jail, and she was all in engineering. Yeah. But then when Boimler, like, he said something nice to her, or I can't remember, or whatever, and then she goes like,
yeah, I'm pretty great.
So
yeah.
She still has that same, like, yeah, Mariner right. attitude. So no, that was interesting.
My comment on this A-plot, and frankly on the episode in general, what was brilliant about this alternate concept is that they're able to take these characters and have them behave in ways that make sense with their previous characterization. And what's brilliant about this particular episode is these aren't even the normal versions. These are alternate versions, including William Boimler, but especially the Mariner. The Mariner engineering thing is the perfect example of exactly like you said, Dan. It makes perfect sense that with a slightly different environment, Mariner would have gone in the direction of being a super nerdy engineer, but in a Mariner way. She's not a Rutherford-style engineer. She's not a Billups-style engineer. She is a Mariner-style.
Oh, speaking of people who are the same and different, it was funny because, like, Garrick was talking about, you overhear him saying that in another universe, he's like, he was a tailor. He's like,
he's
as
like
if
in
that
some
was,
universes, I'm a tailor.
Yeah, like, as if that was surprising, where he's a doctor in this one. But Bashir is a hologram.
And he's based off of an actual Bashir.
Bashir that's into racquetball.
That's into racquetball.
That's into racquetball.
Just and like it, our Bashir.
And is a doctor.
Yes.
And so Bashir, and Garrick is also in this dimension, he's, you know, still like a spy kind of guy, shady character, because, you know, he's able to, you know,
spy guy.
He's spy games. He's able to sneak up to people and do the thing, you know, like when he was like,
old habits die hard.
The line was, I am a doctor, Julian, but not just. Because Julian's like, you're just a doctor.
Right.
That was a very Garrick line, and it was presented in a Garrick way.
So it's interesting that Garrick in different realities are different, but like Bashir is just the same person throughout all. And so they like complement each other or
they
something.
Do.
I don't know. They really do. Yeah. But it was really fucking getting confusing because, yeah, when Mariner, who is a different Mariner that we've never even seen before, was talking about how Troy got stranded on a dimension, and then William Boimler was saying, like, William, who's a...
He's a
transporter clone.
So same dimension.
Oh, he's a transporter clone of Boimler, and he says that happened to my Riker too. But what happened to William is the same thing that happened to Thomas.
Yes.
Right.
So it's like it's getting everything all fucking. It all makes
it's
sense.
Wild,
but
brother.
It
is wild. It
takes my brain a minute. But I was saying, what did you guys feel about the Mariner discovery? Because they opened these rifts, and when one rift opened, another one. Because of conservation of energy, when you open one rift, that presumes that energy goes one way into another dimension, so it has to come back in a different hole. Yeah. Why can't they just swirl around the same hole?
I'll tell you what I liked and what I didn't like.
Well, do you have an answer to what I said there?
He's not going to.
No.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
What I was just stating, those were words I was using to preface my response to.
Why would you do this to your friends?
To your question. it's all just for light entertainment, Dan. That's what we do. Weekend.
Must you do that on the bridge?
Light entertainment. No, what I'm trying to say is I liked the verbal description. The barely even technobabble description.
Because it had just some logic to it.
There verbally, there appeared to be some logic. What I didn't like so much was the illustration didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like it should be like going in opposite direction. Like if you're putting something into one universe, that something needs to come back into the original universe.
Yeah, yeah, that was
it
weird.
It looked like they were both going.
Right.
I think either I'm not understanding the example, or maybe they didn't explain it quite right visually. Yeah. The verbal description made sense to me.
So
it placated my need to have some sort of justification for the sci-fi.
Yeah, that part made sense, but like I was wondering, like, I don't know why opening one hole would require I get the idea they're saying, oh, because one's entering, it's got to leave somewhere else, but why can't it enter and exit the same hole? Are they one way?
Well, what I'm saying is I get the idea that if you're like got two universes, you're kind of opening two holes. So as a result, since you're like moving into one universe, you're adding your chunk of stuff to this other dimension.
Right. So
your dimension is losing something.
No, I know.
But that's why I'm saying it should be a different hole. They're saying a different hole opens up, but the direction was wrong. I get it.
Are you saying wrong?
A totally different hole opens up, and then the same amount goes through.
I'm saying,
but they had the arrows going the wrong way.
I'm saying the same thing too, in the sense that I get what they're saying. Yes, one energy leaves one universe and it has to come out another. My point was not about which direction they were going. My point was like, when the ship goes into the other dimension and loses energy, why can't the energy be coming back in at the same hole? Why does it require a second hole for the energy to come back in?
Because
it's a two-way hole.
It's better for the story, and I'm fine with that.
By the way,
it's perfectly reasonable to me that it would not happen in the same place.
By the way, this episode is really cinematic. Like the fucking graphics all like on the fucking
totally
on the like the part when like that this part. Like it was awesome scale. That's the kind of scale I like to see, where it's like there's just the whole
giant two different rifts, and they're floating through some sort of like purple business,
spanning however many fucking millions of miles. And I also like the idea when she was talking about like in some realities, like ships are the size of continents.
I love it.
Yeah, and like I really want to. I want to be on a ship the size of a continent.
Totally.
That like satisfies my need for.
But they got a killer buffet.
Oh, yeah, totally. But the second, what I want to mention real quick is the second part. This part was making less sense to me. Mariner says, every rift they open creates a huge influx of radial tachyons. But if we recreated those levels first, William says,
this boy is full of words,
it would force their next rift to open right here. So basically they're saying if they shoot at the thing, it would weaken it and force the hole to open in their location is somewhere. That part seemed like kind of nonsense to me.
It was a perfectly acceptable made up techno babble that was saying, like, it's kind of like if you've got a big thing of fabric. Right, and you got a bunch of shit being thrown at the
fabric. I guess if you weaken it, it'll come through.
If you weaken it a little bit, you force it to go one way instead of, you're making your own hole, kind of.
Okay, did you, then this is a separate part.
We're talking a lot about holes on this podcast.
This episode was all about riffs. And later in the episode, they're talking about, they use some gravitational turbulence to go really fast. That was also weird, too, because Mariner's like, the Beagle's creating waves of gravitational turbulence. And William was like, and that's a good thing? And then she goes, it means mass matters. If I can increase the gravity around the warp port, it'll be a tachyon shield and we can go as fast as you want. I don't think there was almost an explanation there. Somehow they were using gravity to go really fast.
This episode has a lot of Voyager-style technobabble where it's just like, we're supposed to hear it. And accept it.
Yeah, this description almost sounded like it was going to make sense, and then it just didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I give him credit for making it almost sound make sense.
I mean, because it's not like like this.
Well, their non-centrosymmetry disrupts the charged leptons and the isolinear pathways of the main deflector, which then.
Because that makes no attempt at sounding like anything. Anyway, so, yeah. Okay, so do we have anything to say? Do you want to talk about the contentious but ultimately caring relationship between T'Pol and Curzon?
I was going to say something about the William Boimler.
Do it.
Good.
When you last see William Boimler, it looks like something sinister is afoot. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to do something. They're going to, you know, do some kind of black ops or something.
Activate the Soliton beam.
Something evil. But, like, it turns out he's doing some kind of, like, time cop.
Section 31 time cop stuff.
But like he's all like jaded now.
Yeah.
And he kind of reminded me a lot of the captain in Picard, of the captain of the Titan.
Oh, in the last season.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like, Todd, you know, Stashford. He's all like unshaven and just like weary and like just like, oh. Like.
Yeah, he had this all that stubble.
Yeah.
But he had more of a professional look, like the way he like folded his legs and was relaxing in that chair.
Yeah, really had more better haircut.
More better. Still Boimler to the max.
But it was more better.
It was more better. William Boimler. I am very interested. I hadn't even really thought about it, Dan, until you mentioned it earlier. I am interested to know whether or not we'll see that group again, because there's no reason to say we won't. They might. They presumably have the capability of at least William coming back to the normal dimension at some point. But who knows? Maybe not. We'll see.
Who knows?
It would be fine if we didn't. I think it'd be interesting. Whatever we're going to see next week, I'm sure will be interesting. But for the characters.
If you
that
don't
are,
like it, then the hell with it.
That are trapped there. You mentioned the T'Pol and Curzon thing.
See, so like I like the idea of these two friends that always give each other shit, but ultimately they love each other. But like it was just kind of a weird choice. Like why T'Pol and why Curzon?
Yeah, because there's no pre-existing version of that.
Right.
And they didn't really explain in the plot why these people are from vastly different time periods, right? So all this fissure stuff seems to be happening more recently. And I know we can't always think about time in a linear fashion when it comes to these alternate universes.
Not when you're thinking in the fourth dimension.
But we see Lily Sloan.
I knew, like when I saw her, I was like, who is that? I know that.
Alfre Woodward, playing Lily Sloan.
They got Enterprise style uniforms.
Yeah. And then they have T'Pol, and then they have, you know, so they're pulling characters from.
Boims? I think that's T'Pol.
And the Harry Kims, it's like, what time period are the Harry Kims from? Are they?
Eight or nine Harry Kims.
Are they all from the present day or not? Probably not, right? So anyway, and
massage.
How old is T'Pol? Because she's obviously older than what she was on Enterprise because she was married to Trip Tucker.
That's a different T'Pol
for 63 years.
I don't get it.
But she
Trip
wasn't,
Tucker.
She didn't look like a super old Vulcan either. So I don't know. There was some confusing stuff there. But I love the T'Pol bit. Like T'Pol, Jolene Blaylock, I thought was great.
I thought she did a really good job.
I personally wasn't super into the Curzon bit for a couple of reasons. First of all, Curzon, like when he died, he was like a super old dude. And that was like 10 years before or more than that, than before this episode in the going about the years, right?
Word.
So like that's already, it's like, okay. Right, like Curzon's still like, okay, you can buy it, it's an alternate universe, but then like we know a little bit about Curzon, we know he was a bit of a rascal and a scoundrel. I'm just, this Curzon came off very Shaxy to me. It was sort of like filling the Shaxness.
I mean, it was played
by the same actor, you know.
When he was swinging that batleth around at the beginning, I was like, okay, when's the batleth scene gonna happen?
Yeah.
And it did. I'm glad it did since they introduced it, but
Chekhov's batleth.
It was like pretty predictable though.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that the character wasn't sufficiently differentiated from your stock brave warrior kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And again, we know Curzon was into, he was hanging out with Klingon, so it totally makes sense that he was using a bat.
Do you think
it's not, nothing was wrong with that? I it was like, because of all the other legacy characters were played by the actual actors and stuff, like it was just this extra character that I didn't fully buy into.
Do you think Connor Chenier is annoyed that they killed him off because then it makes it harder for him to come back in later things? They could have made him from his alternate dimension in this. Why didn't they should have brought back fucking Trip Tucker?
Yeah, that's a complaint. It's a potential complaint for this episode. Maybe he'll come back in the next one.
Well, she did say she was married to him, so maybe he's, well, that's he's the thing, also is he, dead in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and
big Starfleet nerd is an accurate description.
Is Archer really a big Starfleet nerd?
Yeah, I think he's
some kind of big nerd.
He's sort of in... No, he didn't invent.
Have they mentioned polo before? They must have mentioned water polo on lower decks.
Yes, I'm sure they. I'm sure they've mentioned water polo.
Maybe with them whales on the
in the in or outside of the context of Archer loving water polo. I still laugh my ass off every time we watch Enterprise, and it's like, this guy's all into water polo. They were like, what are people going to be into in the future? They won't be into football or baseball. They'll be into water polo.
I know sarcasm when I hear it. Yeah.
And then Enterprise eventually was like, nobody else is into water polo. Only Archer is. He's single-handedly keeping the sport alive.
Water polo of all things. Did they just pick that because it was like in the future?
Everybody people else like is water polo. Synchronized swimming.
Yeah, they just needed to come up with something that was like weird, I guess.
What do you guys feel about like T'Pol becoming like a mind host to the Dax symbiont?
That's cool.
That was a weird take on that whole thing. She was like, too much Katra.
Yeah, because it's like 7 or 8 lives.
Yeah, right. All in her brain. But that was an interesting take on the whole symbiont.
Yeah, like, no, totally. I thought that was cool. I thought all the spaceship battles and chases were fun. The Anaximander was the name of the.
Do you notice they were eating ramen and sushi? Like in the Cerritos, they eat like, you know, taco salads and like, you know, taco salads.
Yeah, everything's all Tex-Mex style food. Yeah, right. Cerritos. So this was all Asian inspired food.
Right, but like you once suggested, Patrick, that it was. Tex-Mex because and it goes along with the name Cerritos, but
well, Cerritos is a California. I mean, granted, we did say Tex-Mex as opposed to California.
No,
but
my point I'm getting at, my point I'm getting at is this ship was called the Anaximander, who was like some kind of philosopher,
Or a hilarious salamander.
Either way, it has nothing to do with like Asian culture.
Yeah, so maybe they were just maybe it was just ramen.
Because isn't that some sort of like Greek dude? Or something?
Maybe it was just the ramen day on the replicator.
Anaximander is a philosopher.
Like a Greek philosopher.
When Anaximander looked at this heaven, he imagined for the first time in history, space.
Okay.
Any bits and bobs, odds and ends? Because I think we talked about all the main plot lines, right? And
yeah.
Where they all ended up and concluded.
Yeah.
It was a really cool episode. Yeah. I've enjoyed this season where we haven't been entirely sure what's going on, but we're like, okay, these fissures, what's going on? And people start thinking of stuff, and then it's like, oh, okay, this is where it's going. This is pretty cool.
It's a fun little arc.
I liked that bog planet. I liked those weird-looking buildings. Yeah. They had these, like, were those bridges going between, like, these big, like...
Yeah, there's like, something like...
Arcologies? Yeah. Were those arcologies?
Ooh, I love the term arcology. What's that, SimCity 2000?
Yeah, exactly.
Arcology.
We gotta be building some of those.
What is an arcology?
It's a giant building where, like, you have cities living.
Yeah. It was posed, I think, in the 1960s. Like it was stilts. Suggested to by a particular architect, where you put, like, 300,000 people in a single building. But it's got a whole community. And it's like all self-contained.
Do you think we're gonna
That's
have?
Badass,
do you think we're gonna have? Do you think in 100,000 years we'll have arcologies and Dyson spheres?
I hope so.
Well, maybe arcologies. We probably won't have a Dyson sphere, but maybe a Dyson swarm. Mm-hmm. Dyson swarm is more doable.
Well, you can't maintain a fifth swarm. Dimension without subspace gluons.
Well, I mean that goes without saying.
Unrecognized subs. What is it like?
Gluons. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the offhand line about where the Harry Kims were chatting when they and one of them was like, "What did you do with your Tuvix?"
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
Everyone's got a Tuvix. Like that. That unlikely scenario happened in every fucking like galaxy
right. With different results.
Fucking hilarious. That's probably my favorite line of the whole episode. But it was great because in classic Lower Decks fashion, it's hilarious. It's good characterization. We didn't see a lot of our main characters, but we got to see these interesting takes on them. Yeah. And the story was interesting. I mean, it was just like an interesting story, even though...
Like, Boimler looked super tasked the whole episode.
Yes, and I like to see him... learn that, you know what, maybe there's some other things out there. And again, that it's kind of Miyazaki style. The villain is not a villain. It's a misunderstanding based off of circumstance. Kind
Star
of.
Trek.
I would think that ship, the Beagle, like, I feel like ships with moving parts that large would be prone to, like, damage easily, like breaking down.
And this one appeared to be. So
yeah, well there you go.
Broke the fuck down.
Yeah, had no shields.
Don't they have problems? What's that? It's called the Osprey. What's that plane? The Osprey.
The Osprey.
Like,
yeah.
It like it like goes like the yeah. It has blades.
Harrier.
It has blades. The Osprey. It has blades to make it on either side to make it float like a helicopter. But then they can go. They can move sideways to go forward.
And then it stings.
I think they break.
It sticks
a lot
out that thing so it can sting like a bee.
Yes, exactly. Why did Mariner give that quopa a Vulcan
salute? It can break a glass.
Why did Mariner give that quopa a Vulcan salute?
I think she was about to say live long and like bog spur or something, some sort of punk. She was talking about how bogs are awesome, and then she's like, live long and bog spur.
See, I would have laughed if they had gotten that far, but since they didn't, I would have never gotten that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they fucked that joke if they were actually going for that.
They fucked that joke.
They fucked it right. I don't know.
Oh, when Boimler assertively bangs on the table and like Mariner's all like get scared. She's like, don't do that.
And then of course at the end with Mariner, when the great joke of William Boimler saying, as long as he doesn't freak out, and then we not only see our Boimler, Brad Boimler, bearded Brad Boimler,
fully
freak
bearded.
Out. Not only do we see him freak out, as the credits start rolling, we hear just a bunch of stuff just smashing and breaking. Like, what
holy
the fuck is he doing?
We're all gonna die!
At least they aren't trying to drink our bones.
Indeed,
I like that line too.
Anyway, we're well over time. So,
okay.
what final
smell
things worth
later.
Saying? We will be talking more about this next week as we conclude this episode.
Let's see. So. Nobody knows what Ops does. That was a Harry Kim line. Also, I want to mention that Curzon was getting all annoyed at to Paul when he was eating. He's like, "Let me fucking eat in peace." And I can really relate to that because when I worked at a restaurant, sometimes like I'd be eating and someone would be being a jackass or something directly at me, and I'm like, "Motherfucker, I have to put up with your shit all day. I'm eating."
It's really not cool to mess with somebody when they're eating.
Yeah, I'm eating. Leave me the fuck alone while I'm eating. That's
were
it's
were
like
you
my
eating
time.
The leftovers of one of your customers.
No, it was family meal.
Man.
Family meal.
That's what restaurants, a lot of restaurants have family meal where the kitchen will make a big vat of casserole, something or whatever. Mm. And then the workers eat before the shift. Not all restaurants do that. All
right.
But some of them do.
The more you know.
Just the best ones.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
That was a funny way to end the episode.
All right. Thanks.
Do we have anything?
I like these
anecdotes. Nothing else to report. I'm sure we'll have some emails, voicemails, all that other stuff next week.
We've got a little
bit more time for that stuff.
Last thing I want to mention. It is Boimler was supposed to be being all like noble and shit by sending it into his, because he trusted his friends across galaxies or whatever. But
it's,
it seems like
debatable.
Yeah. It seems like being like William Boimler's being like connected with him in any way is a liability.
Yeah.
I just say, you know, I think that was a fucked up thing for him to do. And Mariner agreed. Okay.
We'll see how they resolve this next week. And so, yes, as for next week, we will be discussing the final episode, which is called the New Next Generation, something along those lines. Sadly, it will be the final episode.
Boo.
Not only of the season, but of the series.
No, it's not.
It is the series finale of Lower Decks.
No.
Negative. The sneeze finale.
Yeah, it's sad.
No.
It's ending.
No.
No.
No way.
No way.
It's awesome. We got what we got. And I'm sure it's not the last we've seen of these characters. I do believe they will be popping up from time to time in
there could be crossover.
What?
Other
points. No.
But in the meantime, if you would like to get in contact with us,
Strange New World.
We will have much more time to interact with you all on next week's episode, since we'll be only covering the last episode. Write us an email. Write us your thoughts about the season, about the future of these characters, whatever you like. Write us at feedback@itscottstartrek.com. Let me just repeat that. That's feedback@itscottstartrek.com.
That was a little louder than I thought it was going to be.
You can also get us on social media. Check us out, Blue Sky, wherever else you're at. But yeah, Blue Sky, come on. That's where everyone's hanging out.
Check this out.
Oh, pulling the hologram card.
Holograms?
No, you could use a holographic hand.
Indeed.
Hologram.
Blue Sky.
Are they from the same reality?
Our future home.
Just search
reality.
For
it. He's still up in the air.
It's got Star Trek.
What makes you think we'll be living in your reality?
Yeah. Why would someone want to destroy reality?
Yeah, worse than destroying all
effects.
Realities?
As we know.
You do know I'll follow you to any reality.
Dan's demonstrating that he has all these sound effects.
But those were all related. They all said reality.
I know. It's very good. Very funny.
It took time.
Feedback@itscottstartrek.com, @itscottstartrek on the social media, Facebook,
YouTube.
You
don't deserve to come with me.
All that stuff. And if you'd like to send us a voicemail, you can go do that at itscottstartrek.com/record. We'd love to hear from you. Let's have some conversation next week as we
trap is set. Let's see if this works.
Conclude our coverage. We've covered each and every season. You can go back and listen to all our previous coverage of Lower Decks. You can go to the website and just click on the Lower Decks in the menu, and that will bring
I hate this part!
All of our Lower Decks episodes.
It's not fair!
But then afterwards, we'll go back to just bouncing around the Star Trek universe, discussing all sorts of stuff, and we'd love your input for
we're just fooling around.
What you'd like us to cover.
I'm pretty great.
All right, I think that about does it. So we will talk to you next week. With that, goodbye.
Well, at least you get a front row seat to my demise.
That was set to kill.
So am I!